Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable asking you once again to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. This is your hometown radio station right there in Madison and North Florida. And if you're listening by the World Wide Web, I pray this station is beginning to become your hometown station as well. Wherever you are in the United States or on the globe, this radio station is streaming on the World Wide Web, and therefore we have the potential of speaking to people around the world as well as every state in America. And we are glad and blessed to be part of the broadcast family right here on WMAF. We just don't have a station like this in Tampa where this broadcast originates, as big as this town is. There is no station like WMAF. It is unique in that it is its format is gospel programming, gospel, classic gospel music, and classic country music, a family-friendly station. And if you appreciate this station there in Madison, North Florida in particular, you've heard it so long, so many years of them just being faithful to come to you day after day, write them a letter. Pick up one of those little thank you cards next time you're picking up a birthday card for your grandchildren or your daughter or your husband or wife, and drop them just a line and say, we appreciate you, because they are doing a wonderful job and we're honored to be part of this broadcast family. And I pray that you are blessed by being part of the listening family right there in Madison, North Florida, and wherever you are listening from to this radio station. What a blessing it is to get ready today to go to the Word of God and see what the Lord has to say to us. Now, you've been listening to good gospel programming, wonderful music, songs of faith and hope. Now we're going to the very reason that every one of those songs could be and have been written, and that's the great promises of the Word of God. Hallelujah. And the power of those promises to change our destiny eternally and to change our life right here and right now today. Praise God. I'm telling you, we've been preparing our hearts to bring you this message, and I believe it's going to be a special blessing to you, not because I'm such a great minister, but because God's Word is so powerful. Praise God. Amen. We're going to get this message from the Bible. Hallelujah. God's book, and the power is in this Word as it becomes like seed in wonderful soil that finds a good ground heart. It, in and of itself, will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Amen. So, if you are ready today to take a little time out of the busyness of your life and gather around God's Word, we believe God is ready to do business with us today. Amen. To work with us as we open our hearts and our ears as we open the Word of God. We have a great subject this week, Precious Promises of the New Covenant. The Precious Promises of the New Covenant. And I'm going to read, by the way, before I read from 2 Peter, if you want to turn there in your Bible, let's read verses 1 through 4 out of 2 Peter in the New Covenant. If you wonder where that is, it's in the New Testament in your King James Bible. But a testament literally meant a covenant, both old and new. That's what separates your Bible from the old covenant. Genesis through Malachi, and then beginning with Matthew to Revelation, is the new covenant. And we want to talk about this new covenant and the precious promises that are given in the new covenant. And listen, if you're not a Christian today, this is really important to you. For years, I stayed away from church and an obedient Christian life. At 12, I came to Christ. My mother and father divorced. I got bitter in my heart. I turned away from God. I turned away from the church, and I went my own way for a season. But I'm going to tell you something. And I had an attitude, and I believe some of you listening may have this attitude. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to sit in church and pretend I'm something I'm not. I know people like that. I'm not going to be like that. At least I'm going to be honest about my sinfulness and my desire to sin. And I can't change myself, and I'm not going to go and pretend that a change has occurred. Well, that's exactly what the devil wanted me to think and to do to try to destroy me. But I want you to know what God's Word said in John's Gospel. He said, through the Word of God, that as many as received Him, meaning Jesus, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. What I can't do in myself, and you can't do, and God doesn't expect you to do in yourself, God can and will do if we will come just as we are, repent of our sin, and ask Christ into our heart. As He becomes our Lord and Savior, mighty changes will occur within. Praise God. I'm telling you, that's what we're going to talk about today. The precious promises of the new covenant. And we're going to read it out of 2 Peter chapter 1 through 4. Listen carefully today. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. I'm going to read that again. Exceedingly great and precious promises. You see, the Bible, as I said in some previous broadcast, is a promise book. There are so many personal promises to the Christian, to the believer, found in Holy Writ. But these promises, these particular, peculiar promises, are not in the general sense. These are lifted from all of the other wonderful promises of God. These promises are called exceeding great and precious. Hallelujah. If you can just dwell on that for a moment, I just want to stop and say, "Law," like the psalm says, and pause and reflect and think and meditate on this. These are exceeding great and precious promises. And the rest of the verse begins to explain why these are lifted up and set on the top shelf among all the promises of God, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has promised you, and He's promised me, that when the new covenant comes, what Jesus has done on that cross is going to allow Him to make changes, not just in our destiny, but in our very being. Praise God. Amen. That we, who are sons of Adam's fall, can become very sons of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we can become followers of Jesus Christ with a new bent toward righteousness instead of sinfulness. And God has based everything He does to change us in the New Testament from sinners to saints, He's based it on a covenant promise He made concerning the new covenant in the New Testament. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is a wonderful, powerful blessing from the Lord. And I want to begin to read about that. God's holy purpose in the new covenant is clearly seen in His prophetic promise to ancient Israel. The key text is in Jeremiah 31, verse 31 through 34. Listen for the four precious promises of this covenant as we read it together. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers that in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, though I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. I want to submit to you today that the first and foremost blessing that we can obtain in the new covenant is such a precious promise. And it's the promise to forgive our sin. And you know what God said He would do? Again, quoting prophetic promises to us that would occur after the cross and after Jesus' blood sprinkled the mercy seat, after His blood was shed, there could be a relationship with God like no one had ever heard of, except through this prophecy, and no one had ever enjoyed until Jesus said, It is finished, and that veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. Praise God. And that is, your sins can be not only forgiven, but your sins are absolutely forgotten. As it is written, saith the Lord in the new covenant, I will cast their sins away from them as far as the east is from the west, and I will remember their sins no more. Praise God. I'm so glad today that my past is just that. It is past. And I'm glad that part of what Paul meant when he said, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Friend of mine, God can forgive you to such a degree that it is as if you had never sinned as far as He is concerned. You can have a clean slate today. And if you're listening, you're not a Christian, I'm telling you, your past can be just that, past, absolutely forgiven and forgotten. God will never associate you with the sins of the past once you come to Christ and repent of those sins. I'm telling you, this is the greatest promise of all that God could ever promise us, that we who have sinned and come short of the glory of God can have every sin forgiven and forgotten and be treated as if we had never sinned. Praise God. Not long before she died, way back in 1988, in a moment of surprising candor and honesty in television, Marcanita Lasky, a well-known secular humanist and novelist, said, and I want to quote her, "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have no one to forgive me." What an honest statement from a humanist who doesn't know or feel the need to know God, and yet was envious of the peace that a true Christian enjoys in knowing that our sins are forgiven. Carl Menninger once said, and I'm going to quote him today, that if he could convince the patients in psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% could walk out the next day. You see, God gave every person a conscience. He gave us a conscience so that we would know when we were doing wrong. God did that. God put enough light within us that even in a sin-darkened world, there's enough light to have a knowing, and that knowing really becomes a gnawing on the inside. There's something inside. The culture may permit it. They may say it's okay, but I'm going to tell you, you've got a conscience, and God gave you that conscience. It's like a compass to guide you in the dark, and it begins to gnaw. One Indian who became Christian, an American Indian, he said, inside of me, there is a very sharp wheel, and when I do wrong, that wheel spins and it hurts. But when I come and ask forgiveness, that wheel stops. Praise God. Amen. Someone has said if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. Praise God. The promise that is so exceeding great and precious in the new covenant is that God will forgive and forget every sin. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, forgetting, because God has done that. And then I'm going to put that past behind me, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Friend, there is no blessing in all of the Bible like the blessing of God's forgiveness and His holy divine forgetfulness, promising to never associate you or me with the sins of the past anymore. That every sin that you've ever committed can be forgiven and forgotten. Hallelujah. And you can have a clean slate. Hallelujah. And begin a brand new life that leads to eternity in heaven with Him. This is the great promise that God gave when Jesus finished His work on the cross. This new covenant promise came into, not only into view, but it came into play immediately when He said, Tetelestai, one word on the cross that meant accomplished, paid in full, if you please. The sin debt was paid by Christ. The veil of the temple was rent from the top all the way to the bottom. And that was God literally saying that now you can come into my presence, because those sins that separated between me and you, those sins have been forgiven. Those sins have been forgotten. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is shouting ground today. You know, I've been saved all of these years, and I'm so excited about being forgiven. I'm so excited about being accepted in the Beloved. I'm so excited that the God who had every reason to judge me and shun me and punish me, that this God has sent His Son to take my place on the cross so that my sin could be forgiven and absolutely forgotten. Let me read from Psalm 103. And verse 10, listen to what it said about our God. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those that fear Him. Listen carefully to verse 12, Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those that fear Him. Praise God. Amen. God is a merciful God, and He has a covenant promise after the cross that He stands ready to keep with you and me this very day. It's to forgive every sin and to cast those sins away from us as far as the east is from the west. Praise God. The second blessing of the new covenant that is so precious, this promise. He said in Jeremiah 31 and verse 33, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it upon their hearts. This wonderful promise says that He will write the law that was written on stone could not justify and sanctify anyone. It was external and powerless to change anyone from within. God ordained that in its place would come a new covenant. By it, He would put the law of God not before us on stone, but in us by His Spirit. And by His Spirit, He would make His will our delight, not just our duty. Oh, friend of mine, it's a joy to serve God. It's a joy to follow Jesus. Oh, the flesh doesn't enjoy it very much. We have to crucify the flesh, but our spirit soars when we do. Hallelujah. We don't live in some kind of box. We live in freedom to serve God instead of self. Christ instead of sin. Following God instead of Satan. Praise God. This is a joy-filled life. Make no mistake about it. If you see a Christian that is not representative of that joy, that Christian has not entered in to the joy of sins forgiven and the joy of being truly set free. From ancient times, it's been God's great desire and design to change fallen man. To get to the root cause of all of his rebellion and sin, to change us from the inside out, to change our hearts. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 18 through 20. Listen to this. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I shall be their God. Hallelujah. He promised, friend, I'll put my law in their inward parts and write it upon their hearts. You say, preacher, I can't live the Christian life. Hey, I can't live it in myself either. I'm living the Christian life, which means I'm a follower of Jesus. Not because that I have such great character and fortitude, but because God is keeping a covenant promise with me. He has written His laws upon my heart. That means I have a bent to do right instead of wrong. Sin's dominion is broken over me. Are you sinlessly perfect? Absolutely not. Are you bound by sin? Absolutely not. Sin doesn't reign in me anymore because Satan doesn't rule me anymore. Praise God. I've got a new master and I love Him. And I love to serve Him. Praise God. I love to please Him. And when I fail, I'm quick to say, forgive me and cleanse me and help me to get up and to go on. And friend, He promised that sin is forgiven and it's cast away from me as far as the east is from the west, and forgetting what is behind. It doesn't mean that sin is trivial. It doesn't mean that sin doesn't have consequence. It doesn't mean that sin didn't cause Jesus to have to go to that cross in order for us to be forgiven. He didn't have to stay on it. He chose to because He loved us, but He had to go. He said, if there's any other way, let the cup pass from me. But there was no other way, so He drank every bit of the dregs of that bitter cup of God's wrath in our behalf, that He might forgive us and forget our sin and treat us as if we had never sinned. Praise God. And He writes His law upon our hearts. Hallelujah. There's that desire to do the right thing, what God has commanded. Praise the Lord. You know, Paul said those Jewish people of his day that hadn't received Christ as Savior, they had the law on the tables of stone. And Paul said, I would like to provoke them to jealousy when they see the Gentiles doing by nature that is contained in the law. That mighty change within the human heart. Praise God, that old heart of stone has been taken away in a heart of flesh, a heart that is sensitive to God's love and God's purpose and God's word and God's will, and that bent toward righteousness is causing, through the law of love, actually, all of those commandments written in stone to be kept as we love God with all our heart and love our neighbor as ourself. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you today, God wants to not just forgive you, amen, and leave you with guilt and leave you enslaved to sin. God wants to forgive you and break the chains of guilt and break away the chains that hold you in bondage. When you come to Jesus, you're coming to a mighty liberator, one who can and will set you free today. And if you're a Christian, you're struggling with bondage in your life, and I know a lot of Christians who are, that yoke can be broken today. Amen. God has sent His Son to the cross. He has accepted His sacrifice so that you could go free from Satan's prison and from the dominating power of the flesh. Amen. And you could be led of the Spirit of God. He can put His Spirit within you. Praise God. You're not asked to do this on your own, and neither am I. We can partake of the divine nature. We can become more like Him. Hallelujah. Who is pure and holy. Friend, this is a progressive work. God's not done with me. I'm not in that place of pristine purity, but I know that place exists, and I'm headed in that direction. And I pray that you are headed in that direction today. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you know what repentance is? It's a changing direction. In the military, the term that's used for repentance would be about face, a 180-degree turn. And today, if you decide that you're not going to keep heading towards sin and rebellion, eternal banishment and punishment when you die, you decide, I'm going to head toward heaven, toward my home that God has prepared for me. I'm going to repent and change directions. I'm going to express my sorrow over my sin and say, Lord, I don't want to go down this road anymore. I want to follow You. Today, God will keep His exceeding great, precious promise, and you can escape the corruption that's in the world through lust, and God will secure you for heaven, forgive your sin, cast it away from you as far as the east is from the west. That is His promise that He keeps through Jesus Christ in the new covenant. What a wonderful Savior Jesus is. What a wonderful Father that He would give His only begotten Son for you and for me. And that this very day, this very moment, you can receive the gift of forgiveness, and a new heart can be placed within you. And today, if you're a Christian and you're still struggling with bondage and sin, today is the day of your liberation. God is a promise keeper, and in the new covenant, He's promised to change you from the inside out. Bow to Him. Cry out to Him. The Holy Spirit would do the mighty work. Change you within. We love you today. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.
Like waking up. Just